Good day, and welcome to a special edition of Good Heavens, your minimum monthly requirement for astrological edification, observation, and engagement. It is in this special edition where we engage that crazy and beautiful word, eclipse. Maybe you've all heard of something like that happening here in the next little while. That's right, April 8th, 2024, of course, at 1:20 and 37 seconds p.m. Central, we will have a new moon Aries eclipse. What is up with that? Boy, you know, if there's anything we astrologers hear, it's, what does it mean? What's it all about? What's gonna happen, man? And in the words of Jim Morrison, famous Sagittarian, he said, I don't know what's gonna happen, man. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I'm gonna get my kicks before the whole beep house goes up in flames. All right. Yeah, that's what he said. And he did. And so, I'm not in any way, shape, or form predicting the whole beep house going up in flames. However, this new moon in Aries does suggest heat. So before we explore that, I'm first going to talk about new moons in general quickly. Then we'll talk about eclipses astronomically. And then we'll explore what they mean astrologically about this particular new moon, how it conjoins Chiron, and how it might affect us each individually through the houses, if you even know your astrology. That would be wonderful. And what this eclipse may be about globally. Before I continue, for those of you who do not know, again, this is Ryan Evans. I'm a certified master astrologer with the Stephen Forrest School of Evolutionary Astrology, and I teach at his Forrest Center for Evolutionary Astrology. I also do personal readings and can be found on the web at www.ryanevansastrology.com, where you will find a website that is antiquated and in desperate need of upgrade. So, eclipses. Check it out. It's really cool. So, the moon, yeah, it goes around the Earth. And due to its gravitation, due to our relationship with the moon, the Earth wobbles. And since the Earth wobbles, we have seasons. That's so awesome. That's so amazing. It gives us the rhythm and the pulse of life. Without the moon here in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin, talking through WDRT.org, 91.9 FM. Usually, if we were here and there was no moon, we would probably be in constant spring, which would also be constant autumn. And without any rhythm in between them, there would be no life. So we give thanks for the sun and the moon working together. They give us life. That's why we honor the great sun god and the moon goddess equally. Without the sun, there would be no solar system. Without the moon, there would be no life on this planet. Together, yay, they work out. All right, we're here. And so the moon goes around the Earth, right? So the sun and the Earth, and of course the moon, but the sun and the Earth are connected by this string, if you will. If you imagine a string like the sun is holding a rock or a paint can on the end of a string, and it's spinning it around. You know, we're caught on that string. You know, thank goodness there is that string, because if that string were severed, too long. If that string were severed, you know, we'd be flung off into the abyss, cold and dead within seconds. So we give thanks for the sun holding us in its arms. Because again, if it did not, then we would not exist. And here's the moon going around the earth. And the way the moon's orbit goes, it's tilted about 5 degrees relative to the ecliptic. I'll talk about that in a second. But the moon is not always on this straight line, this straight chord, if you will, this straight chord between the center of the earth and the center of the sun. And so if you imagine this chord, you know, it's kind of a, you know, small little string. So the moon going around the earth, it doesn't always intersect this straight line chord. Again, it's tilted about 5 degrees from the ecliptic. But every once in a while, with the wobble of the earth and the moon and the way it all goes, is every once in a while, the moon intersects that straight line we call the ecliptic. The ecliptic is pretty much the basis of astrology, although I don't want this to get into a very long discussion on tropical versus sidereal astrology. That's for another time. But the ecliptic is the annual path of the sun through the familiar signs of the zodiac. We can call them seasons. We project that out onto this imaginary celestial sphere. And we can also project the Earth's equator. That's the celestial equator. It's not the same as the ecliptic. The ecliptic's tilted about 23.5 degrees in relation to this celestial equator. That's why we have seasons. The moon's orbit, in turn, is tilted about 5 degrees relative to the ecliptic, which means that the moon can be as far as 28.5 degrees above or below the celestial equator, or exactly aligned with it when it happens to be crossing this chord, this line. And when it crosses that chord, when it crosses that line, that point, it's not an actual place, but it's an astronomical point. When the moon crosses that point, then it's in a straight line between us or April 8th, like St. Louis and Indianapolis, Cleveland, a straight line between there, the moon and the sun. Moon gets in the way and casts a shadow on the earth. So if we imagine this cord, this electromagnetic and gravitational and strong and weak nuclear forces and other forces we can't understand connecting the earth and the sun, and the sun, the king, has a hold on us, and for just a moment or a few moments or an hour or something, the moon gets in the way of that cord. It's an interruption in the normal electromagnetic, gravitational, strong and weak nuclear forces flow between the earth and the sun. The sun, the painter holding the paint can on the string, and the string is severed for a moment. Whoa, think about that. It's kind of like we're in free fall for a minute. Now, it's not exactly like that. I mean, the force of the strength of the sun holding us, and it will wrap around the moon. It's not like you know, the cord is severed and the paint can goes flying off. Because it's just a minute. I mean, the sun is not going to let go. I mean, the sun likes all the attention it gets from the planets. But for just a second, there's a metaphorical and kind of a real, actual interruption in that normal flow. And it's at that time where the astrology kicks in. What does it all mean, man? Well, keep listening to 91.9 FM, WDRT Viroqua, WDRT.org, and you can find out. What does it all mean? So now here we go with astrology. And all astrology is our observation of the natural world and the things that are actually there. That's like, wow, that's an actual red planet. Let's call it Mars. But then we associate, we project meaning onto red. Red hot, red fire, red blood. Mars, hot, fiery, bloody, war, passion, Mars. Welcome to astrology. Moon, cycle, rhythm. It waxes and wanes and waxes and wanes and pulses like a heartbeat. Moon is the heart. That's all we're doing with this astrology stuff. Hey, it's Capricorn season. It's freaking cold out and there's not any food growing. So hopefully we were responsible and laid up some stores back in Virgo season. Anybody who's ever grown a garden is actually an astrologer. Because working in the working with the cycles and the rhythms of nature, all astrology is making it into a poem. So that's all we're doing here, kids and campers. We're making this into a poem. So it's a little poem. Here's the sun, the king, holding us in its grasp. And for a second, we're free. For a second, for a minute, for an hour or two, anything can happen. There's a wild card. Now, if we're more esoterically or what's the commonly abused word, spiritually inclined, then we may consider that there are forces way beyond our comprehension. Raise your hand if you have a soul. How about a spirit? Okay, maybe for some of you, it's like, well, you know, I'm just a complex set of biological processes here with a little bit of electricity. Okay, that works too. But just imagine, but even for, if you're biologically oriented, you have imagination and you have love. Where are those? Do we have an organ that produces imagination? Yes, certain areas of our brain light up, but it's not like we can go into our brain and take this thing out or add more of it, and now we have more or less imagination or more or less love. But y'all know that you can imagine things, and y'all know that you can love, and where does that come from? And so it's in the realm of poets, where the love, the imagination, is the creativity. This is all synonymous with what we can call spirituality, spirit, the realm of the unseen, the realm of the formless. We don't know. We can't document it. Yeah, that's because you're trying to document things and know things in the three-dimensional world of form. Doesn't always happen. We need poets for that. We need artists for that. And it is the job of the artist. It is the job of the poet, the songwriter. It is their job to take the unreal, that which is beyond form, and bring it into form. That's what love is. Love is taking all of the magic of that whatever realm, spiritual realm, imagination realm, whatever. It's taking that energy and anchoring it into this three-dimensional world. That's why we love. It's why we grow flowers. It's why we serve. It's why we say, here, I'll help. I love you. Because we're adding more of the formless into form. Wow, that's so noble. And so what does this have to do with eclipses, Ryan? Well, when there is a temporary interruption in the normal electromagnetic, gravitational, strong, weak nuclear forces flow between the Earth and the Sun, it's like a reboot. It's like they tell you that you're going to need to turn off your computer in order to turn it on again and get the upgrades. Yeah, welcome to eclipses. That's exactly what happens, is that there is an interruption in that electrical field. And the way we astrologers poetize this is that energies or the formless or something from this spiritual or imaginal or mysterious, that pretty much covers it, world can then come down and anchor itself into this three-dimensional world or near it or at least in the field of it, because we've got a pretty strong force field around this planet. And the way we astrologers, apply the mythology, the observation, the poetized observation, is we say when there's this interruption, then that's where energies can come in, and that's also when energies can leave. And so we astrologers take this to a deeper or higher or more imaginative level. And if we have ourselves, if we have this energy, this soul, this spirit, whatever we want to call it within us, before we were born, it's kind of like we came into the waiting room during the prenatal eclipse. It's so cool what we astrologers can make up. Proof is in the pudding, though. And so here we are, every eclipse, energies, by theory, I mean, I can't prove this, but the theory, the metaphor is energies can leave this planet, energies can come in. And if we have soul or spirit, and that soul or spirit is some form of energy, because that's all everything is, then, it stands to reason that energy is never created nor destroyed, and since we have energy in us, then theoretically, the energy that's within us has never been created, nor will it ever be destroyed, even if there is death. I mean, the tomato gets composted into new soil, and so everything just changes form. And so if there is this energy in us that is eternal, and some of you might be nodding your heads, yeah, I feel the eternality internally. I feel the internal eternality. Say that 10 times really fast. Okay, that was fun. And and so if we have this eternal internal eternality within us, then it stands to reason that we've been around in lifetimes. And we're going to be here until what? The one that left us here returns for us at last? We're going to be here until what? We happily marry that mysterious love principle with the three-dimensional world of form? We're here till what? We actually do, quote, anchor heaven on earth. And so therefore we have a lot of lessons to learn. Just look around you. Just look at your own life. Are you learning lessons? Yeah. What are you doing? You're growing and evolving. But what happened? You came into form in the first place. Whoops. You slipped off the cloud. Oh, no. Jeez, here I am coming out of my mother. Crap. Who am I? And so the nodes of the moon are these places where at any moment there is an eclipse. And when the sun and the moon align with these nodes of the moon, this straight line between the center of the earth and the center of the sun, when the moon gets in there and hits one of the nodes of the moon, sun and moon come together on a node. Sun and moon are in opposition on these nodes. We have an eclipse. And the nodes of the moon then astrologically talk about involution and evolution. Spirit becoming form, involution, and form making its way back to spirit. Evolution. And here we are, our astrological moon. Here we are right now, ensouled in life, as this consciousness, formlessness that is trapped in form. Oh, geez, oh, here I am again. Oh, gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to pay attention to the thrust of evolution. I'm going to pay attention to the call of evolution. Which also means that it's very important to integrate the lessons learned from our involution. It's important to understand what brought us here in the first place. What are we trying to prove? Well, what brings us here in the first place, as I said, is, and again, this is, of course, all poetry, like I really know. But what brought us here, according to the astrology, according to the poetry, is again consciousness's intention of bridging and merging the world of form with the world of spirit, the world of skinned knees and emotional reactivity with the world of love and peace and consciousness and awareness and kindness and beauty. It's why I grow flowers. Bring just a little more beauty into the world. It's why I do astrology, to try to make sense of this crazy world. Oh, yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, we're all just learning lessons here. And during eclipses, energies can come into this realm and energies can leave this realm. And a lot of that is not up to us. A lot of that is not in our control. A lot of that has absolutely nothing to do with us personally, but has a whole lot to do with us collectively. Globally. What does that mean, Ryan? Well, we're going to talk about that. And I feel it necessary to, again, remind us of the beauty and the glory of community radio here with WDRT 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin, also found on the web at wdrt.org/goodheavens. If you want to keep hearing this over and over and over again. So you feeling a little bit about these eclipses? Whoa, all right, there's an interruption in the field. There's an upgrade. There's a reboot happening. It's time for me to let go of stuff, and it's time for me to open up to the new stuff. But we also have to be careful that we don't let go of important stuff, and we don't open up to stuff that does not serve us. Because in this energies leaving and energies coming, I did not necessarily qualify that as good or bad. There is a neutrality. something that is important to understand is that we humans here in this three-dimensional world have not always acted from love, have not always had the intention of peace. We haven't always had the intention of love thy neighbor. We haven't always had the intention of forgiveness and acceptance and allowing and releasing and compassion, even though there's thousands and thousands of years of great masters trying to remind us of that. And since we humans are still thinking that we can, you know, drop bombs and it's okay, does not compute, does not. Since we can still drop bombs and think it's okay, we humans still have a lot to learn. So there are energies that still need to leave. Okay, guys, when are you going to get it? What do I need to do, says consciousness, capital C? What do I need to do to help remind us that y'all are here to anchor heaven on earth, whatever that means for you? You're all here to make this place into a beautiful garden. I've given you mangoes. I've given you seed for romaine lettuce. You know how to breed tomatoes. I mean, come on. What more do you need? Ah, humans. It's a good thing, consciousness says. It's a good thing I set up these eclipse points so maybe, you know, at those times I can reach my hand in and, not forcibly, but gently remove some of that BS. And maybe I can also download some new programs, some new codes, some new ideas, some new inspirations to elicit some enthusiasm in you all. Come on, humans, you can do it, says consciousness during eclipses. And so astrologically, it's important, especially since this is a new moon on April 8th, since this is a new moon on April 8th, during new moons, we set intention. We do what we can to commonly called prayer, where we offer our intention, oh Lord, this is what I'd love for the universe to look like. But what's really, really important, well, this is, I guess, constant with really important about prayer or intention in general, but very specifically for new moons and ultra important during eclipses, is understanding that we are only half of the equation. Yeah, we can ask, believe, and receive. We can set intent. We can creatively visualize. We can just, you know, imagine that a new set of cosmetics, and we can imagine it, and it is in a beautiful picture, and we can hold that in our field, and the universe is just going to make that manifest for us. Because that's the way it goes, and I am an all-powerful creator of the universe. No, you're not. You are a co-creator of the universe. It's only partially up to you. The rest, consciousness, capital C, has got its own agenda that is much larger in breadth and scope and depth and multidimensionality than our puny human minds can ever comprehend. That is why in the Ojibwe sacred Midewin, in their cosmology, their word for, quote, God is Gichimanidu, which has been mistranslated as Great Spirit. And yes, I know this, having studied Ojibwe Moen in college with the magnificent Collins Oak Grove at the University of Minnesota, who told me that, no, it's not Great Spirit. Spirit is a thing. We know what a spirit is. You can see them, see apparitions going through the hallway in old homes. And we all laughed. He said, it's called the Gichimanidu, this great mystery. How could we possibly comprehend the universe? It keeps getting bigger. We think we know when it started. Oops, it just recently. Oops, sorry, everybody. It looks like the universe is actually 27 billion years old, not 13 billion years old. And, you know, we just told you it was 7 billion years a little few years back. But, hey, we know it's science. Anybody know where a black hole goes? Liar! It's mystery. Mystery. There are things that are way beyond us. And so when we come to an eclipse, we have to, I mean, every day, every moment, but during an eclipse, we especially have to honor that mystery. So we put our hands up and we set like a 50% intention, or we say like, all right, universe, this is 100% of my intention, and that 100% I know is only 50% because I honor and respect the fact that half of this universe, at least, I know nothing about. And so we honor and respect, and we allow and we release, and we say like, okay, if there's anything that needs to leave my field, if there are any old programs that need to leave my field, all right, I'm letting them go. Okay, take from me what you will, O Lord. And we also say that, you know, in our own field, in our own personal experience of an interruption between this normal electromagnetic flow, it's important to be open to healthy new downloads, which means that it's important that we remember to keep enough of a membrane to keep any nefarious energies out, or any projected thought forms from other people, places, things, entities, etc., out of our energy field. So it's important that we have this permeability to a relatively strong membrane within us. And so our intention that we hold in our heart during eclipses, very, very important. And for this eclipse, this new moon in Aries, and I'm going to describe that more in a second here, but suffice it to say right now, it's very important that we hold the healing, the intention of healing our power, our strength, our sovereignty, the passion that drives our humanness to that place of love and compassion, that we hold that in our hearts. I'll talk more about this in a minute. In fact, let's talk about that right now. Aries season. Here's a general expose into Aries and why we astrologers think we know something about this. Oh, you're an Aries. Oh, well, therefore, you're angry all the time. No, 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 no. That's a shadow expression. That's an unconscious expression. What is anger? Anger is emotion. E hyphen motion, E equals energy, motion to move, energy to move, emotion gives us the energy to move. Got it? There's the archetype of Mars, there's the season of energy, there's the season of energy, there's the season of Aries, energy. The energy to move. What is it that makes us move? What is it that gives us our impetus? What is it that gives us our motivation? What is it that gives us the what is it that instigates our chosen direction, or us to choose a particular direction? That's Mars. That's Aries season. In seasonal archetypology, copyright Ryan Evans, 2024. Trademark Ryan Evans. In seasonal archetypology, the title of my forthcoming book, trademark. In seasonal archetypology, Aries is the Fourth season. No, it is not the first. Sorry, Aries, it doesn't all begin with you. Why? Because it all begins with winter solstice and the rebirth of the sun. It's just hidden. It's underground. It's very yin. It's very internal, like the seed planted underground. It takes a little while before it actually pops out of the soil surface. And when it pops out of the soil surface, we say it's alive. No, it was alive long before that, as soon as it filled with water and the seed shell cracked. That was life. But now it's ensouled in Pisces, and now that little seedling breaks through the soil surface and is like, all right, now I'm alive, meaning now I'm out of the darkness and into the world of the scene. Makes sense? And that little seedling that pops out into the realm of the scene, the realm of the manifest, the realm of the observable, it's like, wow, there's this incredible force. Oh, there's the sun, and I'm going to grow towards it. I'm this little baby seedling. I just have cotyledons at this point, but I'm growing towards that sun, and it's right there with that intention where the sun starts to scorch us. We're like, wait a second, I'm growing towards you. Why are you hurting? And it's at that point where the rain starts to beat us down, and we can react, oh gosh, this rain is beating me down. I'm just this little baby seedling. And the wind, yeah, that tries to knock us over. And we're like, oh Jesus, why am I victimized here? And then worst of all, the rabbit wants to come and eat us. And all Aries energy is saying is, hey, I want to live. I want to have the emotion, the energy to grow forth into this world. I have a right to take up this space of earth. And there are big trees here that have been established for a long time. But here I am. I exist. I get to exist. And so shadow Aries can react negatively, can react with fear in this situation. Rabbit, meet my thorn. I will put out a poison leaf for you. We can react that way. But the idea is to not do that preemptively. Yes, it's important to have a thorn. It will protect us in case the mouth of the rabbit comes closer towards us. But we're not going to shoot that thorn off preemptively. That's called war. Defense, that's awesome. Awesome. Hey, I'm this little seedling. I'm just trying to grow to the sun. Please don't eat me. And if you do try to eat me, it's going to hurt. That's okay. That's healthy, protective boundaries. You know, rabbits can be jerks. They think that they can just eat whatever they want sometimes, especially the young, tender seedlings. Well, that's not really, you know, I get it. But if we have an intention to do something, to grow, to motivate, to make changes, to live our life according to our dictates, to follow our path, even if other people can't understand it or whatever, we still have to grow in our path. And if there are rabbits or there are external forces that try to devour us, it is important to have healthy levels of defense. But not attack without reason. It's just if we're attacked, it's like, you know, rabbit, it's your own fault. Just let me grow. I'm just doing my thing. I'm not trying to tell you not to grow, rabbit. I'm not like hurting you because I'm not letting you eat me. No, so Aries energy conquers its fear by setting up healthy levels of defense. Moreover, when the wind knocks us down or the rain beats us down, we have to learn flexibility and we have to strengthen ourselves and not allow ourselves to devolve into hyper-emotional reactivity where we're like, ah, yo, stupid rain. That rain feeds us. Ah, oh, you stupid wind. Well, you know, we can breathe. It's accepting part of Aries energy is accepting the fact that rain beats us down and wind knocks us over. So it's not the rain and the wind's fault. They're actually trying to help. And that wind does help because it does teach us to strengthen our stems. Get it? And all of this energy that I've been talking about can be poetized and applied to your existence. Where must you set up healthy defenses, not of attack, but just defenses? Where must you, me, Ryan, where must we learn flexibility? While we also learn strength, how to be strong and flexible, and at the same time not react with violence. Aries is only violence in its shadow. In its truth, Aries is happy doing its own thing. It doesn't necessarily need supports, or it doesn't necessarily need a tomato cage. I mean, a tomato cage can help on occasion, but we also don't need anything external to prop us up, because sometimes that weakens us. The wind needs to knock us over sometimes because we need to learn how to strengthen ourselves for the next time that happens. Make sense? So where in our lives must we learn strength and flexibility? Where must we be consciously, enlightenedly selfish, where we're doing our thing and we're taking care of our stuff and we're not imposing our will on other people? And we're not saying, you need to prop me up. And we're not saying, you need to feed me. We're not saying, rabbit, I see you over there, so since you're a rabbit, I'm going to shoot my thorn at you just because you're a rabbit. No way. That's unhealthy. There's Aries. Now enter the archetype of Chiron. Looking at my time and knowing that this can very easily devolve into a 7-day lecture, I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit as I remind us all that we are listening to 91.9 FM WDRT Viroqua, wdrt.org/good heavens. Chiron is a comet remnant. It's a centaur. It's an asteroid. What is it? A big chunk of rock and ice in between Saturn and Uranus. And if Saturn is the world of form and Uranus is the realm of chaos that connects, that is in between formlessness Neptune and form Saturn, if Uranus is the chaotic cauldronic, is that a word? Did I just make up a word? Cauldronic? I like it. Uranus represents the cauldronic force of the interface between form and formless. And here's Chiron. Chiron is the human part of that. Chiron is us humans who exist in this three-dimensional world of Saturn, the world of form. And guess what happens? Sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we get knocked down by the wind. Sometimes a rabbit comes and tries to take a bite out of us. Sometimes the sun that feeds us actually burns us. And we're like, what the F, man? So the wind and the rain and the sun and the rabbits, we got to deal with all that. And the spiritual or the divine or the interior loving, compassionate parts of us can't have difficulty understanding why that has to happen. Why do things have to hurt? Why do I have to stub my toe? Why can't I just jump off a cliff and fly like Superman? Oh man, three-dimensional reality. There's these limitations. There's this hardship. There's this challenge. That person knifed me in the back 4 years ago. Oh man. Welcome to Chiron, the human experience. Chiron is to the minute exactly conjoined this new moon, saying our intention, the energies that are leaving, the energies that are coming here are Chironic energies. The energies that we want to leave is our attachment to the suffering of the wound of being human in the first place. We're being asked on some level, each of us individually, and we're going to talk about this globally too, but we're asked each individually to look at our lives as a whole complete gestalt, just this whole circle, and take a look at it and have incredible compassion for the suffering of our trans-dimensional or formless self, our spirit, our soul, our happiness, our love, and how that is not always really well received and really easy to anchor into this world of form. So the schism of separation between our spirit and our body, our imagination, and this world of the seen, the world of the formless, and the world of form, the schism between that and our reaction to that is the cause of war, is the cause of environmental degradation, is the cause of racism, sexism, classism, thisism, thatism. Isn't it the most? Chiron astrologically represents thusly our need to heal the schism between form and formless. Our need to understand that we do live in a limited three-dimensional world where sometimes people are jerks and they act out of their fear and they're rabbits that want to eat us. How can we defend ourselves healthily from those rabbits, if you will, while at the same time having incredible compassion for the nature of the rabbit? How can we take our imagination, our love, our understanding of the spiritual or creative or imaginal world and anchor that into form? Chiron in Aries on this new moon says, hey, how can we strengthen our stems that have been, knocked over and beaten down by wind and rain? How can we have compassion for that and still pick ourselves up out of the mud? Nobody else is going to do it, man. Nobody. That's up to us. It's an internal process. Reclaiming that power, reclaiming that strength, using our emotion to say, I can. Chiron, it might hurt. It might trigger all of this ancient woundedness. And since this is an eclipse, this is ancient energy that is ready to leave this sphere. Haven't we had enough war, man? Haven't we had enough rabbits wanting to devour us? I mean, the wind and the rain, that's going to happen. The sun, that's going to scorch us. The fact that there are bigger trees here and we're just a seedling trying to grow towards that sun out of their shade. Yeah, that's a natural part of the process. That's a healthy competition, we could say. Yeah, what do you got? Hey, look at this. I'm a ninja. What have you got? I'm a kung fu master. Awesome. Let's spar. Awesome. Wow, you just tapped me in the chest. I can learn something from that. Cool. Thank you. You're welcome. Awesome. Give me a hug. Yay. Your circle is whole. My circle is whole. Together. Whole. Bigger whole circle. Awesome. It's when we ourselves feel broken, when we ourselves feel beaten down. It's like, oh God, just we're all looking for it right now because the South Node is in Libra asking for help. And that's the tendency, that's the challenge, actually, that we're being asked to observe, but not rely on. We observe our need for, hey, man, we all need help. Hey, man, I've been beaten down. Hey, man, these rabbits are attacking us. Hey, I need to find some way to be happy and strong. I want to bring my nervous system into balance, South Node Libra. I want it all to be good, South Node Libra. I want it all to be nice, South Node Libra. So please avoid the temptation of killing the rabbit. Because there's going to be another one and another one and another one. So the idea is to strengthen ourselves, again, to strengthen ourselves, to remain flexible, and to set up healthy avenues of healthy boundaries between us and nefarious energy. Nefarious energy is... it's part of this three-dimensional world. And as long as humans feel disconnect from spirit, from imagination, from creativity, from the divine feminine, from the archetypal field, as long as we feel separate from that, like this three-dimensional world is the only thing that exists, and therefore I must control this field in order for me to be happy or me to be safe or me to feel that love and that peace. Therefore, let me blow everything up that could possibly be an offense to that. That doesn't work anymore. It just simply doesn't work. Show me where it works. Oh, let's bomb them to pieces. That'll teach them. Show me where that works. It does not work. And maybe it has worked to beat people into submission or to commit genocide or to destroy a people, or you know, maybe it has worked to that end. But that's not the end, because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I mean, come on, man. Schoolyard bully? You think you're gonna... All that does is show your weakness. And so, it's a sign of weakness to shoot the thorn out at the rabbit. It's a sign of strength that if the rabbit tries to attack, we have the healthy boundary, we have the healthy avenue of defense. Dude, it's a poison leaf, man. Don't eat it. I must eat it. No, it's a poison leaf, dude. Don't take a bite. Okay, that hurt, and now you're poisoned. Okay, what good did that do? No good. No good. Oh, geez, when are we humans gonna learn? Is it possible that we learn with this eclipse? Because what I just said there about each of us personally is actually what we need to learn globally. The extent of the stupidity of war. Let's see, is that happening anywhere in the world? And is that helping anyone? No, whoever might be engaged in that might think that it is, and through fear might want to turn up the tension on that. It's not ever going to work. When will we get it through our thick heads? So in this energy, yeah, there's some dangerous things, man. I call it the lone gunman on the grassy knoll. Someone who's like, oh gosh, I'm so small, but I've been so eaten up by rabbits that anything that begins with R. Ooh, cancel clear that. Cancel clear what I just said. Because we don't want to imagine that into existence. Is that kind of energy possible here. Yeah, it's possible that in the name of peace, in the name of trying to rectify the severed cord between us and spirit, us and the divine, I have to what? Make other people pay? No. I've got to show my strength? No, it's not good. No, no, no. None of that is ever going to work. Is it possible? I mean, is there a force in this world, in collective consciousness, or in our individual consciousness, in our global consciousness, in our societal consciousness, that thinks the way to do it is by beating the opposition? Like, not just like winning in a good game, but by beating down the opposition, shooting out the thorn, spreading out the poison. Yeah, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of wounded people. In fact, it is the predominant wounded paradigm in all of culture, in all of the world. It is the source of all of the pain in this world, is some individuals feeling that disconnect, feeling that fracture, and reacting violently to it. Thinking that more control, more domination, more extraction of resources, more globalism can solve this problem. No, the only thing that's going to solve this problem, quote unquote, is every individual, and hopefully that, you know, spreads out to the collective. I mean, if everybody's doing it, it will be the collective. But is that every individual look at their own life, myself included, and say, where do I need to take my power back? Where do I need to be in my power without projecting that power out? Where do I need to be in my courage? How can I heal this rift between this crazy world that wants to devour me or knock me over and my spiritual or divine or creative or love-based intention that wants to see this world a beautiful garden? How do I rectify those? We rectify those by being open during this eclipse enough to receive the necessary downloads, which encourage that. As we let go of the old unnecessary patterns of war and control and domination and excessive shadow, patriarchal, shadow masculine forces of control, domination, and shooting the thorn unnecessarily. The masculine, the male, I am one, is wounded culturally, historically, and unfortunately, especially since 1900 on a global scale. We humans have thought erroneously that more control, more domination, more extraction of resources, more capitalism, more rules, more concentration of power and information would solve the problem. Oh, no, no, no. No, it's not. It's co-creation. It's me being in my power and you being in your power, and together we can make this world a beautiful garden. It's me being in my strength, knowing that I am caught in this three-dimensional world as a multidimensional being. Wow, that's awesome. That gives me the energy. That gives me the emotion to do something really cool, like learn how to be an astrologer and help people to understand their part in the flow and in the rhythm and the cycle and the circle. That's so awesome. I can every month come on to 91.9 FM WDRT Viroqua and say, hey, everybody, this is how we can be happy. So what do you need to do? I think you know. For more information, please visit www.ryanevansastrology.com. And feel free to continue your celebration of 91.9 FM WDRT Viroqua. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks to Terry O'Connor for producing this program. Be well.